As we mark the Lord's Supper, I think one of the ways I enjoy observing it most is just considering the narrative and going over simple that narrative as we look at that before we partake of the supper, the Lord's institution of that supper. And a lot of times, less is more. Though I can't promise I won't chase some rabbits. But we'll look at the passage in Matthew 26 and verse 26, that night that the Lord set the table in the midst of his church, gave it to his disciples. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out under the Mount of Olives. And as we look at this verse, these verses, this narrative that's set forth in Scriptures, and I don't tend to get in controversy, and yet just standing on the central, simple narrative of Scripture is controversial today. We're going to consider what these verses teach and what we can understand and apply of them in a very simple way. Verse 26 again. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." As they were eating, who was the they? It was the apostles. It was the disciples. It was that very first church that the Lord Jesus Christ had called out around the Sea of Galilee and had formed from that those prepared people of John the Baptist who were baptized believers. There were none other at this meal, certainly none other that partook of the meal. There were other saved folks, there were other baptized folks. We read in the Scriptures of the 70, we read in the Scriptures of the Lord's mother and other friends. But this meal he set in the midst of his church and to be observed in that church capacity. And we see that made clear in other passages of Scripture as well. They were there eating the Passover meal. That's why we today, observe the supper on this day. In conjunction with the Passover, and not in conjunction with that pagan holiday of Easter. And I guess you won't get my Easter sermon this year since they fall at the same time. Quite often they don't. Sometimes they're very widely separated, which kind of should indicate to you that Easter really has nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. But they were gathered here for the Passover meal. The meal was coming to its normal conclusion. At this point, they normally would not eat or drink more till the next day. And our Lord does something that's out of keeping with the normal conclusion of this meal. He obviously institutes something different, something new. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. The Lord took the bread. He held it up. His disciples might observe it. With that bread being the normal, unleavened, wheat bread of the Passover. Same basically as what they call today the matzah cracker that we use in the observance of the meal. And he took that bread and he blessed it. Again, the custom of asking a blessing over, giving thanks for what God brings our way, and in particular, in this case, of what it would represent. the normal blessing would have been as this: Blessed art thou, O God our Father, the King of the world, that produceth bread out of the earth. And no doubt, in light of the new institution of our Lord's coming passion, our Lord's prayer extended perhaps beyond this simple blessing. He took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He broke that bread as a symbol of his body. That body which was broken by blows, by scourges, by thorns, by nails, by a spear. And ultimately, from which his soul would be separated as he would die a sacrifice for his people. The body was broken, the bread was broken, but as the scriptures tell us, prophecy of the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament, not a bone of his body was broken. His body was broken. His body was rent for his sheep. But not a bone was broken. And when the time came where they normally would have come by and broke the legs of those being crucified so that they would die quicker, Lord's Spirit had already departed. Psalm 34:20 says, He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. John tells us in John 19:36, For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Every Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled completely and fully and perfectly in the New Testament, and in particular in the life of our Lord. Paul expounds in 1 Corinthians 11:24 on the Lord's blessing and breaking, and where he says, 1 Corinthians 11:24, And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, this is a remembrance. It's not a repetition. The Lord hadn't even been sacrificed yet. When he said, This is my body, this is my blood, it was obviously representative. And the remembrance. He was standing there. This is not to be repeated, not his sacrifice, though the supper is to be in remembrance. And I believe, again, the breaking of bread that we do as we observe the meal is properly preserved as we undertake in that fashion to observe the table. And after he had taken the bread and blessed it and break it, he gave it to his disciples. Again, these were baptized believers. These were members of that first church. These were those whom the Lord had called out. This bread that he took and broke, he gave it to them. Perhaps you'd say not a big point, but he didn't take it and put it in their mouth like a lot of the more ritualistic churches do, out of fear that what they call the laity, and again another unscriptural division between the laity and the clergy, but that the laity might drop the consecrated host. They might drop God on the floor. Or that some might even make off with it and use it in some improper purpose, as it's said to have been done at times in various satanic black masses and so forth. It's representative of the Lord, and it should be respected. But it's not God. And he broke it and gave it to them. And said, Take, eat. This is my body. They took it in their hands. They ate it. Expressive of taking and receiving Christ by the hand of faith. Feeding on him in a spiritual manner. Luke says in his account, in Luke 22:19, And he took bread and gave thanks and break it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We see here, he said this was given for you. Elsewhere in the scripture, it speaks of the many. And it demonstrates the particular nature of his atonement. He told his enemies, I give my life for the sheep. And he says, you're not of my sheep, or else you would have believed. It's not given for all men. The Lord didn't fail. He didn't try as hard as he could and wasn't able to accomplish what he intended. Oh, it's for those whom the Father gave him in eternity past. The Lord says, this is my body. In context of all the accounts we see there, it's obvious again that it's representative. It's a remembrance. It's an emblem. Unlike, again, many of the ritualistic churches, the Catholics and the Lutherans most particularly, though Catholics go different versions, but they still believe it's the literal body of Christ. Or said this represents, this is in remembrance. And we can look throughout Scripture elsewhere when the Lord spoke to his disciples and others. He used those kind of illustrations. He said, you know, the seed is the word. Well, no one believed that it was a literal seed. It's the seed represented the word. Elsewhere in his parables, he says, the field is the world. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. In John 10, the Lord said, I am the door. I don't think anybody's looking, you know, for a doorknob. Elsewhere in John 15, he said, I am the vine. Again, representative of who and what he is and what he's accomplished for his people. And it's very significant that as they partook of this Passover meal, at the Passover there would have been no leaven present. They partook of unleavened bread. I saw there was controversy. I didn't get all the details in it in Israel this year, that the legislature was relaxing some laws. I think it had particularly to do with hospitals, that they would allow allow people there to have leavened bread in the hospital during the Passover, and it really upset a lot of people over there. Of course, they don't have a clue of what all the real meaning is. But still, that's significant. You know, it was unleavened bread. And again, when the Jews partook of the Passover even, they understood, they used the same representative language. They would say, this is the bread of afflictions, which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Now, they didn't think they were eating the same bread that their fathers had had over in Egypt. But it represented those things. Ultimately, today, for the Jews, that comes to represent the Passover lamb. They don't understand all the implications of what they're doing, but they understand, they take that because they can't sacrifice in the temple, that they a fecal man, a substitute, they call it. I'm preaching another sermon now, too, but they call it the fecal man, the substitute. Christ is our substitute. You know, but they partake of that and say this is the body of the lamb which our fathers ate in Egypt. They don't understand the body of the lamb who gave himself for his people. Again, the Jews didn't, when they say that, think they were partaking of the self same lamb that their fathers had eaten in the wilderness. And today, as they partake of the bread, they don't think that that somehow transubstantiated into that lamb, but that it's representative, that it's a remembrance of what the Lord had accomplished and what their fathers, for the Jews, had partaken of in the wilderness. So the disciples were very familiar with the symbolic representations that were being used and were present at the Passover. And certainly our Lord was there physically present with them. They could hardly mistake that this bread was his actual body. They could see his body. He stood before them. We continue on in verse 27 there in Matthew. He says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this. And he took the cup and gave thanks. When the Jews would bless the cup, the prayer that would accompany that would be, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, the King of the world, who has created the fruit of the vine. And again, as we spoke about last week, I believe this was the pure fruit of the vine. I'm convinced that that alone properly represents the unleavened, the unfermented blood of the grape. And again, that Greek word, oinos, was used more widely. It could refer to the pure, fresh blood of the grape, and it could refer to fermented wine. But that word, oinos, is never once used in reference to the Lord's Supper. The only words that are used in reference to the Lord's Supper are the cup and the fruit of the vine. I think lest one would be confused. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. And again, it's interesting in the light of subsequent errors of the sacramentalist and the hierarchical churches, which they partake of the supper in one type. Now, the Catholics at some point, I think back in the 70s, made it permissible, if the priest wanted to let the laity partake of the bread and the wine. But previous to that, and still it's what's usually done in Catholic churches today, is the laity partakes only of the bread. Again, lest somebody should spill the blood of God on the floor. You know, they're concerned about what might happen. This was magically turned into the blood of Christ. And since at least the 12th century, the Catholics have partaken of just one element. Though again, they can, if the bishop determines to do so, since about sometime in the 70s, partake of both. The Lord took the cup. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. Shed for the many. Shed for his elect. Shed for those he intended to save, and he accomplished all he intended to accomplish. This is my blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant. Again, the blood is the red blood of the grape, an emblem, a representation of his precious blood. That blood that ratified and confirmed that new covenant, which supersedes the old covenant, which had been ratified by the blood of the bulls. And that old covenant itself was just an illustration and a prophecy and a pointing to his atonement. Exodus 24, verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. The new covenant is exhibited and established by the blood of Christ, which he says is shed for many. Not potentially shed for many, but shed for many It accomplished what it intended, shed for all the elect of God, a particular design that's clearly stated, not a potential one. Again, this the Lord said in John 10, verse 11, we've looked at these verses before. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15, he said, and the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Our Lord, that precious Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, we read in Hebrews 13:20 of that everlasting covenant. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. When our Lord became our surety, the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. Our little human pea brains maybe can't completely wrap around that. But that's a wonderful and glorious truth. He continues on in verse 29, the Lord. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And I say unto you, that local assembly, the disciples, that first church that he had formed, the time was now very short. I might drink henceforth until I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. A time when all the elect of God are gathered in, when they've been presented to Christ by himself, and he will then deliver up that kingdom to his Father. Luke 22:29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's at this point done with those earthly duties, those earthly rites. And he sets forth before them this solemn memorial. And in remembrance of as well of that coming reunion at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when he'll partake with them once again. And then verse 30 tells us, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That hymn would have been from the Psalms, what they called the Hallel. And that portion concluded with Psalm 145:10, which says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. The scriptures spoke of the Messiah and his suffering, and yet Israel couldn't see it. Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and marvelous in our eyes. The Jews looked at this Hallel and said it spoke of the sorrows of the Messiah. And yet when the Messiah came and suffered them, they rejected him. Why was that? They were fallen creatures. And until God opens your eyes, whether they're Jew or Gentile, they'll not see those things. They'll not embrace those things. They sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And there began our Lord's prayers in Gethsemane, in anticipation of his passion, when he laid out his heart before God. when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. And yet the Father didn't let it pass, because this is what was necessary for the atonement and the salvation of his people. And by the grace of God, we will once again remember him in obedience to this supper that he instituted and set in the midst of his church. And we'll sing a closing hymn before the supper, number 274, His Pierced Hands. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out. 274, His Pierced Hands. This was written by Brother Spurgeon. As Paul set forth the supper in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, he says, "For I received of the Lord that which he declared unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." Father, we thank you for our Lord's broken body. the body of God incarnate. The body that was represented by that lamb without spot or blemish. Our Lord's sinless body. The only one that could make atonement for the for the sins of His people. Father, we can't fully understand the love that brought our Lord to this earth, but sent Him to Calvary for the wrath that You poured out upon Him to redeem His people. But we thank You, Lord, that You've made us the recipients of that love. And we pray in His precious name. Amen. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Father, we thank You for that precious blood that flowed from Calvary's Mount. Lord, as You've told us, the blood of bulls and goats could no wise take away sin. All that had went before had pointed to this one all-sufficient atonement. Father, again, we can't comprehend that love. But Father, we thank You that You applied that blood to Your people. She redeemed them in Christ. And we pray for His full and completed atonement. And we pray in His name. Amen. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. As we saw, the Gospels tell us, Matthew 26:30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And we'll stand and sing a hymn together, number 147, the third verse, Near the Cross, 147, verse 3. Father, we thank you again for this day, the first day of the week, as every Sunday we remember our Lord's glorious resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the meal that you set in your church that brings us, in a very real sense, to remembrance of what was accomplished on our behalf. Lord, we thank you that our Lord finished the task. There's nothing that man can add or detract. Lord, we pray in the light of your love, in the light of his atonement, that we might live and be those people that you would have us to be. Thank you for your church. Thank you for one another. Thank you most particularly for our Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen.